US.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Your host for this evening, Gillian Greenwich in New York, Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens, New York. And Jerry's out of Brooklyn. Jerry's on with us tonight, and Jill is on hiatus. Jill is working on her PhD dissertation, so she will be out for the rest of the summer, and we might be able to get her to, you know, to do some spots every once in a while, but she's on vacation, on a working kind of vacation, and I'm Henrietta out of Chicago. So good evening, everybody, and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. As we do with all of our meetings and our calls and our shows, we always begin with the declaration of the International Black Summit. It is in this declaration that we express our vision and who we be in the world. And so I will begin with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, May 20th, 2012. Queens, New York, Brooklyn, New York. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So, Glenn, I understand you and Jill had a ball last Sunday with Mother's Day.
We sure did. We were playing some songs. Love My Mama.
Okay.
The Intruders and the Boyz II Men from Soul Food.
Uh-huh.
Mama song.
Right.
Those, and we were reciting love poetry from the Sufi Rumi, The Path of Love, that was really just about relationships and about womanness and what women provide. So we had a good conversation.
That's
good
great.
Conversation. We even included a little bit just at the end, a little bit about fatherhood in there, so that the fathers wouldn't feel like they were being left out
of
the conversation.
Yeah.
That's good. That's right, because there are a lot of fathers that are mother figures now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of men who are single parents, you know, doing wonderful jobs raising their children, you know.
Well, in this day and age, there's really about parents stepping up and parents doing things outside of the norm. You know, I know of a few friends of the family who the men are taking on being stay-at-home daddies and, you know, doing what it takes to support the family. So it's not about traditional roles anymore and you know, you do this and I do that. It's really about what's wanted and needed to take care of the family, to provide for the family.
Yeah.
And, I think as those roles morph into other things, you know, we as parents, as society, family, and society have to adapt and really look to see what, you know, what's relevant.
Yeah. You know, and I think the universe is trying to let us know to take the limitations off, you know, to take our judgment off of the way things are done, you know, our right way to be, you know, like this right way we think families ought to look. And families just don't look like that anymore. They haven't looked like that in a long time. And we just haven't acknowledged it, you know. But if I think back 24 years ago, there may have been three or four two-parent families in most of my my daughter's classes. You know, and that's a long time. You know, and so for us to still think that a family should look a particular way and like that if it doesn't look that way, it's not functional. If, you know, we need to really stop saying things like that, because so many people were raised by one parent, whether it was the father, you know, or the mother.
Or the grandparents. Yeah.
Or the grandparents, or an aunt, or an uncle.
Yeah.
You know.
Or sometimes they're brothers or sisters.
Or they're that's right, brothers or sisters. You know. Go on.
I'm staying in the conversation, but shifted just directly. You know, this whole conversation of gay marriages and gay couples, you know, being the parents. You know, I was surprised by a comment from a 2-year-old, and she was at her daycare, and one of the other child's parents were two lesbian women, and she was saying, oh, you know, her mother was explaining to her, well, you know, whatever the child's name, Christian, I'll call him, has two mommies. But clearly in the child's eye, she said, no, she's got mommy Beth and daddy Lisa. So she was clear that one of the women were being that the daddy role by, I guess, by her parents, I'm not even sure, but just for a 2-year-old to really get clear that that's daddy Lisa, you know, kind of speaks to it. The other thing that you brought up that I thought was interesting, and the same family who has a stay-at-home dad was explaining something to his daughter, and I kind of reflected back when my daughter was a little younger, about the same age, about 2 or 3 years old, and I would take her in Toys R Us, and I would kind of fool around with her, and I'd walk over to the Tonka trucks and say, you know, would you like one of these? And my daughter said, no, Daddy, that's not for girls. And she was very clear at 2 years old and two to three that that was not her function, that she was not that. Now, interesting enough, the same couple I was telling you about, the stay-at-home dad, had the conversation with his daughter and said, well, there's no right or wrong about any kind of toy. So if you would like to play with this toy, I will buy it for you. But just because a lot of boys play with it doesn't make it a boy's toy. And if you want to play with it, I will buy it for you so that you can play with it. And it's okay. And you get to choose. So it's very much so for me that we have to adapt to the requirements to raise our family. And those things are constantly changing.
Someone needs to mute their phone. We have a lot of background noise. But, you know, it's real interesting, this whole conversation, because we have started doing civil unions. And when I say we, I mean my minister friends. You know, before we were just blessed the relationship. But now, in the state of Illinois, civil unions are legal. And we have started to do it, and it's nice. I mean, it's so nice. Everybody is like, you know, it's like everybody is happy about it, you know, can't wait for the ceremony and, you know, like looking forward to it. And I mean, the people in their 70s and 80s and, you know, who have known these couples all of these years, everybody's like looking forward to the weddings, and just like you would anybody else's. You know, so it's like opening up our you know, we're like evolving into this newness of a new way of being. Earlier today, that's funny that we're on the subject, but I didn't go to my church today. I went to the Bodhi Spiritual Living Center, BODHI, and it is a trans-denominational church, gay, lesbian, transgender. And it is one of the fastest-growing churches in the city of Chicago. And they dedicated their new church today. And so two of our ministers spoke today. One was the guest speaker, and one did the benediction. And then there were, you know, a couple of us who, you know, just went to support. And we had a ball. I mean, we have a ball. It is the nicest congregation. They were renting a space in the Apollo Theater. You know, we have a little baby Apollo here in Chicago also. But and they have been renting a space there, and they found an old Catholic church, because a lot of the Catholic churches now you can buy for $1 in the city of Chicago. So they have one of the old Catholic churches and the rectory next door, and they use the rectory as the children's church. And so they did a dedication, and it started off at 8:45 this morning with a breakfast for ministers, and then meditation started at 10 o'clock, and then the service started at 10:30, and it was a wonderful service with wonderful music, and They have a great choir and a band, you know, what we call a praise team, and some really great soloists. And that minister's name is Mark Anthony Lord. He was a Unity minister, and now is, you know, Spiritual Living is the, used to be called Church of Religious Science. And so it was just, oh my God, it was off the hook. Just a wonderful service today. And the church, and it's on the north side, like up around DeVosey, Glen, you might know the area, not far from the lake, maybe 10 blocks from the lake up on DeVosey. And so a lot of the churches now, we started doing, like Bodie comes to us when we have things. The Power Circle is another new thought church, and we started just like doing different things together. And so we celebrated with the Bodie Center today, and it was just really, really nice, really nice. And like I said, it's one of the fastest growing churches in the city of Chicago. Just, you know. So Yala Van Zandt is going to be there in June.
Well, since we're on this topic, let me bring it up, because it's been certainly being talked about a lot here on the terrestrial radio stations here in New York. This decision for Obama to support gay marriage. Do you think that it's going to help him win his second term, or do you think it's going to hurt him?
I think it's going to help.
Yeah.
I think it's going to help because his decision, you know, if you really look at how the universe works, or how God works, or how divine mind works, anytime you do something that doesn't hurt anybody, you know, like it's good for all people,
mm-hmm.
it's always a blessing, and it always enhances the universe. When you segregate, or when you leave people out for any reason, it's not going to work. You know, I think people are complaining about it because they're complaining about it. If he had taken just the opposite stand, if he had said no, they would have been complaining about that. It's just there's a consciousness that doesn't want him as president. So whatever he does, they'll find something wrong with it.
Well, one of the reasons why I asked is that a lot of the comments, or a lot of the objections that I've heard so far, seem to be coming from the Midwest. Now, obviously,
yeah.
Chicago is his town, and so Chicago probably has the largest black population out of any of the major Midwest cities. So
mm-hmm.
I think Chicago is probably not indicative of how the Midwest would normally vote. But you know, what's your sense of it outside of Chicago? Because inside Chicago might be a little different than the general Midwest conversation.
Well, let me just start with Chicago first.
Sure, absolutely.
Every program, you know, I listen to a lot of talk radio. That is the only conversation that all week long, WVON is one of our African-American-owned radio stations. And just about every program, that's what they're talking about. The only criticism that I've heard is from the Bible, the people who are looking for things in the Bible, you know, to try to make it a religious complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some of the most ridiculous conversations ever, and I've heard some that make just a whole lot of sense about it. That you know, there are people, a lot of ministers who have taken a stand against what he's doing, because they say it doesn't go along with the Bible. And you know, there's I'm a minister, so I can tell you that there's a whole lot of things in the Bible that don't make sense today. You know, when you look at it, when you read it, there's many things. There are many scriptures that just don't make sense for us in today's language. And so, as you know, the Bible to me is one of the most wonderful books there is. And you can really get some really great life lessons. You have to be able to interpret it and take into consideration when it was written, who the books were written by, who chose the books to be in the Bible, and why they chose them. And when you look at it from that way, then you understand a lot better why certain books were in the Bible and why certain books were not put in the Bible. You know, like the book of Mary that was left out. There's a whole other group of books that were left out of the Bible because they would not keep the people in control like the ones that were chosen. And so it's kind of like a lot of ministers have taken a stand against Obama on this because of that. So, you know, I've heard a lot about that during this last past week on talk radio. As far as the other outside of Chicago, you know, Illinois is a long state of, like, it takes 8 hours to drive through the state of Illinois from Chicago. If you drive south, it takes you 8 hours. It takes you 2 hours north. So it's about a 10-hour long state altogether. And most of the areas outside of Chicago are small cities or rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those areas, it's based on economy. You know, they will vote based on the economy for them. You know, so and I, to be honest, I don't really know. I haven't heard much about anything outside of Illinois. I just know that most of the complaint in Chicago has been from ministers.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what Jerry, you know, like how Jerry feels about.
Yeah, we're going to come to Jerry just for a second. Let's take a station identification. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, and we've got an interesting topic. We're talking a little bit of politics tonight, but we're talking about it inside of the upcoming election of the presidential election that's upcoming, and we're going to talk a little bit about Obama, but I want to let you know that our annual event is going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. So, you know, civil rights, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk about stop and frisk also, which is another issue around civil rights that's being bumped around and talked about as we go into these election campaigns and so on and so forth. But this is the International Black Summit, and our station identification is on Blog Talk Radio, and we're on the internet, www.blacksummit.org. So we invite you to go there, register yourself with our social network, and engage in conversations, business economies, and anything that interests you. Please let us know, because we're there to provide the service and the hearing of the conversation, And so we're going to get back to Mr. Jerry and find out what is the impact of President Obama's decision to support gay marriage. What do you have to say about it, my brother?
Well, I think it's, for me, it's not me personally, but there's some people it's mixed because, matter of fact, I was watching Meet the Press, and the NAACP had mixed feelings about it because some of them, if they asked the question, is this a civil right to have gay marriages? And then some said that, and there's some that they don't think so. And so there's a debate within the NAACP, and also they said within our community that is it the right topic to really talk about? The question they posted, no matter how you are, not the question, but they would say no matter how what sex orientation you are, God will accept. But there are some it's not. So as for me, at the end, God gotta look at your heart, and if it's pure, that's all really what counts. But I feel that it's gonna be a debate, and I feel that what Obama is doing is commendable. But at the same time, yes, he's going to have their votes and everything. There's no doubt about it. Because majority of them are gay or lesbian. Most of them is really from, they usually vote independent because they do not trust the Democrats or the Republicans to really care for the issue. So I feel politically, we'll get the vote. But I feel that in our community, I feel it's gonna be a foregone discussion. All I can say is just stay tuned. Stay tuned, because it's not over. It's definitely not over as a long shot. It's not.
Well, we're definitely gonna keep that conversation alive as we get closer and closer to the election and the campaigning and the rhetoric that's being thrown around is heavy and frequent. So, you might have to have your raincoat on.
And all I want to say one more thing, too. And while the election is getting closer and closer and closer, we have to watch out the of certain false statements that certain politicians are going to make, especially that deals with our community. So I would say stay tuned to that, because wherever African American catch a cold, wherever other communities catch a cold, we catch the flu. So I can say, us as African Americans in this country, we have to be very, very careful what we say. We have to be very, very careful that there are a lot of people out there that's going trying to twist whatever words we say. So I feel that let's be careful, analyze it, and stay firm what you believe in, and just leave it in the God's hands. Back at you, Henrietta, and boy.
Well, it's interesting because your listeners out there, I don't know if you've remember the show or listen to the show, but we had a couple of shows on what has Obama accomplished, and we were very surprised to engage in that conversation and to look at the many accomplishments that have been had. And so it's been an interesting thing, and let me speak for myself. One of the things in doing the research for that program, and we actually had a series of the whole month looking at what the accomplishments were, and we looked at it from different aspects. And I know the first show that we did that month, we looked at, there were like 80-some different accomplishments. And we talked about maybe 10, 12, 15 the most. And of those 15, I'm embarrassed to say this publicly, but it's true, is that I knew of maybe 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
That many, you know, that I was aware of. And of the, and I'm not talking about of the 80 that we actually covered,
mm-hmm.
that in our research, but of the 15 that we actually had a chance to speak to, I was aware of about 4 of those 15, and the rest of them weren't even on my radar. So the thing that's interesting and I think is important is that there are a lot of things being accomplished. And I was just listening to WBLS, and a lady on there spoke very eloquently. And what she said was that Obama hasn't been doing things overtly for the African-American community. He's been doing them very covertly because he's put programs in place that the ultimate impact would be for the benefit of our community. But, of course, it wasn't spun that way. It was spun as a general health package for the for the community at large. For example, you talked about extending the benefits for unemployment, which we are the biggest group when you talk about unemployment rates. He also did something with the benefits, the medical benefits. And, of course, given that we're unemployed and we can't afford health care, so, again, we would benefit that indirectly. So there's a lot of things that have been put in place for our health, and if we don't know about them, certainly then we can't speak to them and we can't acknowledge them and we can't move forward with his agenda in support of what he's done for us. So that's some of the things that I see and hear inside this conversation. Back to you, Henrietta.
Yeah. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are having a wonderful conversation about Obama's decision to support gay marriages. Gay marriage, I should say, and we kind of evolved into some of the conversations also, but I'd just like to remind you to go to our website, blacksummit.org, and look for a prerequisite course or a summit share in your area. We are moving around this year, and we're getting into areas where we not being where we don't have active summit members, and we invite you to call your relatives, your friends, your old classmates, well, not your old classmates, but your classmates that you may have gone to school with that live in Alabama, and invite them to the International Black Summit annual event. It's in Birmingham, Alabama, and it is all about acknowledgement. We're going to the place where the civil rights era began. We have talked to some wonderful people just in Huntsville, Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama. And this month we're moving into Tuskegee, Montgomery, and Selma, Alabama. And we'll be having summit shares in Mobile and Tuscaloosa. You know, where our goal is to have a summit share, which is like an introduction to what the summit annual event is about, in all of the areas in Alabama. So support us in this, please, by calling your loved ones and asking them to just go to the website, blacksummit.org, and find out where there's a summit share in their area. Or send us an email if they would like to have one, because we're not limited to those areas. We can go to any city, no matter how big or small, and we could have a summit shared there. We want the people in Alabama and the surrounding areas to really understand that Birmingham called the summit, called for the summit, and we are showing up. And so we want to just let people know what it's about so that if they choose to come, that we would be more than happy to welcome them for that weekend. That weekend is the 2nd through the 5th. It begins on Thursday with the prerequisite and Thursday night with the opening ceremony. Then Friday we go into the room. And Jerry, you know about that room, right, on Friday morning? You know about that Thursday, right, Jerry?
Uh-huh.
That prerequisite day, you know, that prepares you for the room. It's a course in authentic listening and the distinctions of the International Black Summit. So we invite everyone, if you know somebody who's from Alabama or know somebody who knows somebody, you know, shoot us an email or give us a call or call into the radio program. We're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And just give us the person's information or their email address, and we'll do the rest. You know, we have teams that meet every day. There are some calls that are 2 or 3 times a day. The host team, the media team, the prerequisite team, the facilitator body, the men's call, you know, Team Birmingham call, Team Atlanta, Team Canada, the New York team. You know, we have teams, the West Coast team, the Southeastern team. You know, we have teams that are getting together and clearing themselves so that they can hear what life is saying to them or to us so that we can facilitate the conversation August 2nd through the 5th. We are so looking forward to meeting you, and, of course, the talk show team will be there, and you will get a chance to meet us in person, yes. You'll get to meet MVP in person, and you'll get to meet Glenn and Jill and Shakesha and Clara, you know, Lenar, all of these radio personalities that you've heard over the years. You'll get a chance to meet us in person as the conversation is facilitated in the city of Birmingham. We are planning just a wonderful, wonderful event. We are going to the Civil Rights Museum, Jerry, and I know you will love this.
Okay.
But there's a Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham, and that will be a part of the weekend that we'll get a chance to go to, and it just kind of takes you there. You know, we are having something, not sure what it is yet, at the 16th Street Baptist Church, place where the girls were bombed.
Back in the early 60s. Right.
Right, so we'll, you know, we've been in touch with church. We're talking to the NAACP later on this week in Montgomery and, you know, other cities. The professors from Alabama A&M are joining us and are going to do an acknowledgement piece where we acknowledge the people who marched for us. You know, who stood for us, who took the hose, the water hoses, and the dogs, and the this and all of that. You know, we're going to acknowledge, because, you know, the summit is about acknowledgement also. Acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are in the world. So join us at the 22nd annual summit event in Birmingham, Alabama. Don't forget the Megabus. I'm telling everybody, check the Megabus, because I saw a $1 fare on the bus. And if you make your arrangements now, you could literally get from New York to Birmingham for about $15 on the Mega Bus.
Where? Say that. Repeat that again. What's your name, Rihanna?
MegaBus.com. MEGA. Bus.com. MegaBus.com.
Okay.
And you don't make it, you know, you don't go like directly to Birmingham. You go from New York, you just click on New York, and it'll tell you how far you can go. And then you go to the furthest place, put your gates in, and then you go to the next place. Like, for me to get to Birmingham, I can go two ways. I can go from Chicago to Memphis, then Memphis to Birmingham. Or I can go Chicago to Nashville, Nashville to Atlanta, Atlanta to Birmingham.
Mm.
So you have to, like, see how far it goes in that direction. But the fares are incredible on the Megabus, and it's a comfortable bus. You know, it stops every 2 hours so you can get out and stretch your legs and eat. They always stop at a rest area, you know, so you can eat, like a McDonald's or Burger King or Subway or something like that. You can bring lunch. You can, you know, bring your cooler, have your own food. You don't even have to stop and buy food. So don't let the airfare stop you from getting to Birmingham. There are lots of different ways to get there. You know, Chicago has a bus. They're chartering the bus. So if you can get to Chicago, you can take the bus from Chicago. I think the round trip fare is $160. And it leaves on Wednesday, and it leaves Birmingham on Sunday night. Leaves Chicago on Wednesday. Leaves Birmingham on Sunday night. So there are many, many different ways to get there. If you want to carpool with people, just like I said, let us know. You know, call in on the talk show, let us know. We will connect you with people in your area who are heading to Birmingham. We're going to the place where the civil rights, where the civil rights movement began. And I mean, it's just like, it's so appropriate that that's where we're going this year with all of the things that are occurring.
Two things, Henrietta. So one is, I imagine that this is what the freedom fighters were actually going through when they were organizing initially to go down to the South to register people to vote. You know,
absolutely.
Like standing in that possibility, and they're going to travel and get down there to support the people in having a voice.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to mind, and it's a civil rights conversation, is this whole stop and frisk conversation. And stop and frisk, I don't know what it's like in Chicago, but I know that one of the things that about the New York City Police Department is that anything that happens in New York gets magnified around the world. And what I mean by that is that the New York City Police Department are the highest echelon of police tactics and so forth. And a lot of places around the world listen and come to consult with the New York City Police. And the New York City Police Department routinely stops and frisks the Black and Latino communities here in New York City. And so, and as a result of that, normally it's just a harassment. However, they are able to justify the program because they do recover felons, they do recover guns, they do, I would imagine, to a small degree, even confiscate drugs. But the key to it is the really civil rights and the civil liberties of being black or Latino in this conversation in America. You know, when I visited South Africa and was presented with the apartheid conversation, I quickly realized that we had our own version of apartheid here in the U.S. We just didn't call it that. It was very covert and very undercover. So, what if anything is it like in Chicago in terms of the stop and frisk? Is that becoming an issue? Is it an issue in Chicago? And how are the our youth being treated? Black and Hispanic youth in Chicago around the stop and frisk.
Well, it's interesting because I see it every day. If I'm on public transportation,
mm-hmm.
I'll pass somebody. Somebody. And it's interesting because it's definitely in certain areas. Definitely in certain areas. And they're like pockets. I found out, and I haven't shared this with you all, but I found out about 3 weeks ago that I live on the block that Michelle Obama was raised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just found out. A friend of mine told me, and I thought she lived in this neighborhood, but I didn't know it was on this block. And it's interesting. It's like a consciousness between here. There's a mosque, the Nation of Islam, their mosque is about four blocks away. And very seldom do I see any police activity from these two major streets, you know. One street is Stony Island and one street is Jeffrey. But as soon as it gets dark, you see all kind of activity. If you go east, like over to the lakefront,
mm-hmm.
and you see people pulled over all the time, and the police are just going through their pockets.
Okay.
They're just going through their pockets, and they're the guys are black guys, and they're always their hands are up against the, you know, cop.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not fighting, they're not tussling, they're just going through their pockets. And most of them are driving. They're not just walking down the street. They pull the car over. They're searching the cars, and, you know, I really do see it all the time. On the east side, you know,
yeah.
The east side of this particular neighborhood. But it's been here for a while. It didn't just start. They've been doing that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was in New York, Glenn, I didn't see it at all.
Well, we weren't traveling in the particular circles that would have come up, and there's certain avenues and throughways that it does come up.
Okay.
You know, I was driving around the other night, and I usually avoid them. So normally what you see is you'll see the lights flashing, and it's usually on a major thoroughfare, and so and what they're doing is, what they tell you they're doing is they're checking registration and inspections. Stickers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the truth is that they're really using this as a way of infringing in your rights. The other thing that they're doing with the young people, especially our young men, is that they're stopping and frisking them at certain locations when they're on their bicycles or when they're walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, I understand that usually they're hanging out in groups when they're selling drugs and all that kind of stuff. I understand that that exists. However, the harassment is not being done outside of our community. And we've been putting up with it. We haven't said a whole lot about it. As I understand, there's a class action suit that's underway. But, you know, let's face the truth about the conversation. If our Supreme Court doesn't abide by it, it's not going to happen. So it can go to the Supreme Court, and the current Supreme Court that we have is basically going to rubber stamp it. Now, one of the other things that we need to look at as a community going forward is if Obama is in there and then can appoint one or two of the next appointees to the Supreme Court. And I was listening to the radio early today, and this woman brought up this point. I think she's a lawyer. She said that the only way change is going to happen is if we put Obama back in there so that he can get rid of some of the conservatism that appears on the Supreme Court. Because if we don't do that, we think we got it bad now.
Right.
Was the comment that she made.
Uh-huh.
Just wait, because you ain't seen nothing yet. So I think that's the other part of why it's going to be so important for us to get out and vote at this election. You know, the fact that the summer is going to Birmingham, Alabama, where in the South they're taking away the rights of voters. So, I mean, these are all, I mean, there's no accident that we're going to Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
You know, for me, which is the home of the civil rights movement. So there's
mm-hmm.
something about that. There's something about that energy. There's something about our consciousness that has to be in place in order to move this conversation in the direction that's going to be beneficial to all of us, not just for the blacks and Latinos, but for this country and for the world. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Lynn. I really appreciate that that conversation. The other thing that we're experiencing in Chicago is the NATO summit, and it's so interesting because they told everybody probably a month ago, you know, what the closures would be. You remember, Glenn, when you were here.
Mm-hmm.
I told you McCormick Place, right?
Yes, right.
Downtown, well, it's not downtown, it's south of downtown, but it's right on the lake. And the McCormick Place is huge. I mean, it's on the east side and the west side of the Outer Drive. And it runs from probably 22nd, some parts of it, 23rd Street. Some of it is like maybe 4 or 5 blocks long. And it's a convention center. Well, that's where the NATO summit is.
Okay.
There are no traffic jams in Chicago. It was 96 degrees in Chicago today. And the traffic was moving like it was unbelievable. Because they have so much security here, it is unreal. You can't get within so many blocks. You can't even get on the train with anything larger, with a bag larger, I think, than it's so many inches. Like a guy got on the train with his backpack, you know, regular, they made him get off. Because the train goes down and under McCormick Place. Security is so tight. There's federal police here, state police, city police, and NATO police, along with the police in every area. You know, if they're private, like for universities or things, they have their own police. And you get on the expressway, and you could just drive. It is amazing. You know, we went from the north side to the west side, to the South Side today. Twice. And it never stopped. The traffic never stopped. They have blocked off certain exits, and the police are just sitting in position. And it's amazing how when there's a when they want things to go a particular way, how they can go that way. You know. So next week probably we'll give an update on the NATO summit, but it's like amazing to me how you can plan not to have traffic jams. But as soon as the summit is over, traffic is going to be right back to where it was before.
Well, you know, one of the things that I thought was surprising is that the police brought in a vehicle called a long-range acoustic device that aims a loud, narrow beam of sound meant to force crowds dispersal. Now, I have heard of these kind of devices used on the battlefield to deter enemies and so forth. But it's interesting that we're using it on our own people. You know, I'm always a little concerned when Army technology is not used for the Army, but it's used for our local forces. It's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on to see what is happening and what is transpiring. As I want to say that our rights are being challenged.
We have an echo. There's an echo.
Our lives are being challenged. Our rights are being challenged, and it's important for us to keep track of what is going on.
Yeah. Well, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are beginning our countdown to Birmingham. Birmingham is where our annual event will take place this year, our 22nd annual event in Birmingham, Alabama. So go to blacksummit.org and get as much information as you need. Join the summit shares in your area. Call the talk show. We are going to begin bringing our teams on so that you can see what makes up the International Black Summit. We'll have members from our different teams on some of the Sundays. We'll have people from Alabama who will talk about some of their experiences. And we have, if you can believe this, we have five weeks, I think, in June, four in July, and I might have that flipped. So that's nine, 2 weeks left in May. So that's 11 weeks until the International Black Summit. So get ready, everybody. Get ready. Don't get caught at the last minute. Go to blacksummit.org and register for the International Black Summit. And or you can download the application and just mail it in. Let us know that you're going to be there. Go to Doubletree. It's being held at the Doubletree Hotel in Birmingham on 20th Street. So please make your reservation. And they don't hold any money. Just reserve your room with your debit or your credit card so they know how many people are coming. You know how it works. We have to... So many people have to reserve rooms, that like lets us know who's coming, that lets the hotel know how to prepare, and it's in a wonderful area right by the University of Alabama in Birmingham. Lots of restaurants, lots of everything in the area. It's a beautiful area in Birmingham, and join us as we go to the place where the civil rights movement began. Jerry and Glenn, I went to a green festival 2 weeks ago here in Chicago, and I heard a gentleman speak. I have to get his name But he talked about the reason we have to vote Obama back in. And one of the things that he said, and I'll have more information on this next week, but one of the things that he said is, we celebrated the night that he won, but we didn't do anything afterwards. He said, this time we have to celebrate, and when we finish celebrating, we have to march.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because there are three major items coming up in December where if we don't pay attention to these three laws that are coming up for, you know, they're revisiting that, you know, they're different things. So we'll have more information on that next Sunday, same time, and it is Memorial Day weekend, so it might be 2 weeks because the talk show has to, the team has to decide if we're going to take the day off or not. So if you, if we're not hearing you hear a show that's being replayed, it's because we decide to take a holiday, and we will be with you, we'll be back with you on June 3rd. So thank you all for listening tonight. We love you. We bless you. We thank God for you, Jerry. I love you. Glenn, I love you. And talk soon. Good night.
Good night, and God bless.
Yeah.